Well, let's take a look. Just want to remind you, we want to make sure you have your bulletin and your Bible. This is a very involved, detailed outline because we want to make sure if you don't take notes, which I hope you do, that you'll take a moment to say, these are some things that I need to be aware of. Now, I'm grateful. Today's communion, it's all about food, festive fun, right? Thanksgiving. And so please take a look at your newsletters that come electronically so that you could see some of the things that are happening here at your church. And I hope some of you who are online will come and join us 2 weeks from today. It's what we call our Slider Sunday. So since we talk all about food, some of you are asking, well, Pastor Paul, what's the joke for today? Heard a cute one. Here we go. Talk about food. Group of ladies, they just grew together, and all of them had similar birthdays, so the ladies decided on their 40th birthday that they would get together for lunch. After much conversation where to go for lunch, they decided on the Ocean View restaurant because, well, the waiters were very cute. 10 years later, they're now 50, they're debating, where do we go for lunch? They decided, say, well, why don't we go to Ocean View Restaurant? Because, well, we just love the menu, and the drinks are wonderful, and those waiters are very, very sweet. So another 10 years later, they're now 60 years of age, and so they said, where are we going to go eat? After much debate, they went to the Ocean View Restaurant because they just decided that it's a place where we can eat in peace, and the view of the ocean is wonderful, and those waiters are very, very nice. Another 10 years later, now they're in their 70s. Where shall we go eat? After much debate, they said, well, let's go to the Ocean View Restaurant because we know that there's handicap wheelchair access and there's elevators, and those waiters are very kindly to us. So now 80 years of age, all of them, where shall we go eat? After much debate, they finally landed on, well, let's go to the Ocean View Restaurant, because none of them have been there before. There you go. Just Well, one thing you could all agree with is that we've all heard about stress, have we not? We've all faced stress, and that we're beginning a series today that's called Overcoming the Dark Side of Stress. That's our series. So let me just talk to you just a little bit about that. I don't think I need to explain anything about why to hit this topic together with you. I had all set up about a series on Thanksgiving and just what breakthroughs bring to us when we're thankful to the Lord. I felt impressed that the Lord says, well, everybody's getting stressed out. So, wow. And this post-pandemic, I think we can all relate to the fact that we've experienced some form of stress one way or the other. It's worth noting, too, because as we see the data that's coming in over even the last 2 years, the American Institute of Stress, working together with American Psychological Association, comes in with this data. Let me share some of this. The Americans are one of the most stressed out people groups in the world. Isn't that? Yay us. That when it comes to that point, out of 143 countries, Americans rank right up to the top as the most stressed out people group. Comes in and says 55% of Americans say that they are stressed out all day, every day of their life. 55%. Another statistic, that really means that we are above the average globally. We are 20% higher because the average globally is 35% stressed out all the time. When it comes to stress causes, 57% of the U.S. responded to the survey saying that they are literally feeling paralyzed weekly over stress. 94% of the workers reported feeling stressed at work, which is the number one or top area of involving people feeling stressed. Montana, I thought this was interesting, is one of the leaders as the least stressed state in our union. That people there are 26% stressed. It must be a very peaceful environment to live. That's why we go see our son every now and then. Oh, isn't this great? Big Sky, Montana. 35% of the workers say that their boss is the cause of their stress. I just want to say I'm sorry before we get any further. And 76% says that their work-related stress has a negative personal relational impact upon their home life, upon their marriage, and upon their family. So how do Americans deal with their stress? Here's how they do it. 30% of adults eat comfort food when dealing with stress. 51% of the adults engage in prayer. That's encouraging because we're going to be taking a look at and talking some about that. Coping mechanisms with the young generation, Gen Z, millennials, they cope by just sleeping longer. 49% of the U.S. adults just endure it. Now, that's my generation. It's the old, you know, suck it up, buttercup. How does that work for you? Not very well. And then there's 49% of Americans use CBD regularly to manage stress. And 60% of Americans use alcohol to manage stress. So we take a look at that. Based on the statistics, we've got a lot of work to do. Now, I would say because you are all believers in Jesus and believers at home, you're probably doing fine, but there's something of a tension that's happening in society. Maybe it could be because of election. I don't know. But there's a lot of people that are feeling the stress. So this series that we're in is going to be crazy practical. Don't get mad saying, well, where's the spiritual side? We're going to be looking at the element of God's Word. Today's message is entitled Stress-Free Biblical Game Plan. That is today's message. We do want to take a look at that because I'm confident, and I know you are too, God loves us. He does not want His creation to be stressed out. He wants to make sure that we enjoy the eternal life that He's given to us. So it's going to be important. I love the Word of God. Oh, man, it's like, Lord, you've got to have some answers here even for this subject matter today. And He does. It's been helpful for me. I can share a little bit of my journey through the message, but it's important that we kind of understand the psychological element of stress. Let me just start here with Psalm 139. You can write it down. Psalm 139, and we're looking at verse 13. You made all the delicate inner parts of my body and knit me together in my mother's womb. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous. How well I know it. Now, that last line, how well I know it, I'm confident not everybody really knows how their body functions. Do you remember when we were, well, you're all so much younger than me, but you remember when we were young, we felt indestructible? And then all of a sudden you realize, man, our bodies are susceptible. Sometimes we need to realize that God designed our bodies to uniquely respond to stressful situations. That's important. All of us have that fight or flight mentality when we are involved with stressful situations. That's how we're made. When we come to that element of stress, you somehow where you've been startled by something or someone, something happens when adrenaline and the element of cortisol kicks in and instantly just rush into your brain, just in a split moment like that when you're shocked by something. And a person then will either shout or run or fight. That's the reaction. And many times when people hit stress element just quickly like that, their brain function doesn't really, it supersedes just the reasonable approach to that. We do something that's just not normal. The reaction, the sample would be that if you're crossing over a crosswalk, just stepped off the curb and a car is streaming by you with the horn blazing, naturally, instant stress, those cortisol hits, the adrenaline hits, you react by just flinging yourself back onto the curb. You come to your senses, you're on your back. How did that happen? What just happened? When stress hits like that instantly, that is not the occasion for us to reason through and say, well, should I keep going forward or should I go back? Do I jump on the hood? We just react. That's why stress causes people, they don't react by thinking things through. it really is kind of a God-given reaction to that. So short-term stress really can be quite beneficial. Long-term stress, that kind of constant pouring of adrenaline and cortisol into my brain, will have an effect upon our health. It'll affect our health in ways like anxiety starts to appear, depression, digestive problems, headaches, heart disease, sleep problems, weight gain, also memory, concentration, impairment of problems, just all of that starts to hit. It's like, what's happened to me? You're under stress, long-term stress, continual stress. So when we take a look at this, we all have experienced life stressors. That's why it's so important. We just take a moment, even this week, that you start to mark down, what is it in my life that is a stressor? What is causing me to be stressed out? Because I'm confident God does not want you, I'm talking to you personally, God does not want you to live that way. I like Psalm 139 again, verse 23, where it says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts." So I believe God's going to help you and me to know our anxious thoughts. So you can see on your notation there, as we start down our note card, you can see, recognize what creates stress in your life. I'm just going to hit those points, but you can determine that the Holy Spirit can bring those things back to you. Number one, our circumstances may not necessarily just be one thing in your life or my life. It could be a whole collection of things that are happening. How about our thinking? We'll touch base with this just a little bit, but our thinking, without any circumstance happening, our thinking can elevate our stress levels. Our pace of life, naturally, what kind of pace of life are you going through or experiencing? Isolation. I think that's interesting because if you read on isolation, they are now saying isolation of a person is more harmful to their body than smoking. Interesting. So isolation, you and I were not made to be isolated. We are actually made for healthy, quality relationships. And then naturally our relationships. We try to get into relationships, but things are faltering and becomes very stressful. Our technology, how about that? Are you mishandling? Could we possibly be, technology's here to stay, but are we misusing that? Our lack of purpose in life. Used to have purpose. Sometimes men feel that way. They somehow are in between jobs and it's like, who am I? What am I? I don't have a job anymore. It's very, very stressful for men. So I'm glad we have our Men of Hope gatherings, our monthly gatherings. Very important to check on those things. And then our brokenness. You and I, we've just experienced some of that when we went through that whole series. We just know we're living in a broken society, but what heightens the stress is we ourselves are broken, so now we're trying to work through all that. So when we look through this area, anytime we need to make life changes, we have to be more than simply desiring to change. Oh, I desire to change. I desire to change. But we really need to have a plan. Therefore, today, tra-la-la, we want to go with a biblical game plan. Stress-free. It's important for us because I believe the Bible really reflects God's heart for you. Can you imagine not hearing from God's heart for you, going without reading your Bible each day? Remember, Jesus said that when he was tempted by darkness. Man's not to live by just In-N-Out burgers. Man's to live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. So it's important for us, and we're going to begin. Let's take a look here. I got Psalm 119. We'll begin with Psalm 119. You can write it down. Verse 105, your word is a lamp to guide my feet and a light for my path. So here we go. Let's take a look at that. Because when our weeks proceed through the holidays, we're going to take a look at really overcoming stress with time, overcoming stress with money, and overcoming stress with relationships. You and I don't have time to go through all of these, but we're going to trust the Lord. But let's start with that biblical game plan. First of all, number one on your notes, accept the positive side of stress. Let's take a look at that. Seriously. You might say, seriously? I thought we're trying to eliminate all stress. Well, some stress is good. How many, like me, I work better when I'm under pressure, right? 3 a.m, I'll get her done. Why didn't I do it sooner? So when we take a look at this, short-term stress is not bad. Dark side of stress is when it's prolonged. But let's take a look. Short-term stress boosts job performance. It increases alertness. It brings in more motivation and focused attention. So there's an element that we have to say, well, that's really, really good. God's word actually says something positive about that. Let's look here, Romans chapter 5. You can see it on your notes, verse 3. Because it's important. God's word says there's a positive side when you go through a tough time. It literally says we can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they help us develop endurance. And endurance develops strength of character, and character strengthens our confident hope of salvation. And this hope will not lead to disappointment, for we know how dearly God loves us because he has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with his love. It's interesting to note, if you've ever hit the fan and things are going wrong with your life, the Bible actually says, why don't you rejoice? There's just certain things that work through your life that builds endurance, that builds a quality in a person's life. We call it that grit. There are some people that have never learned to handle stressful situations. And that those are the people that just, they're not here in life. They just cloister themselves because it can be too difficult. They've never learned what it is for community and work it through with relationships. So the scripture says, you know, rejoice when you're going through that. But let's take a look at number two now on your notes. Change your thinking. That's important. Think how we think influences our stress levels, without a doubt. How we think. Somebody once says life consists 90% how we think of what happens to us. 10% of what happens, 90% how we respond to what happens. So if you just take a look at, because we all have bad days, we all have challenges to hit, some people handle it much better. Some people handle it much better. I know a family where the same sibling adults have all been raised in the same education, the same family, have the same kind of opportunity for income. One seems to succeed in life and the other doesn't. What is the difference? What is the difference? Must be the way they responded to what happens to them. So the way you think is so important. Look at Philippians, please, chapter 4, even encourages us, verse 8. It says, now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing, fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about the things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Keep putting into practice all you learned and received from me, everything you heard from me and saw me doing. Then the God of peace will be with you. So we take a look here. It is interesting, developing deep negative thoughts. Just kind of research a little bit. It's out there. When people are dwelling on negative things, there's neurological patterns. They call them literally ruts in your brain that you can't get away from thinking about negative things. So it really is going to take a dose of the Holy Ghost to say, Lord, I am so tired of talking about garbage. Have you been into some of your relative relationships? You go to the family gatherings this holiday, and it's like, man, they're all talking smack. Can we just put down politics for a moment? It's just amazing how that is. It just kind of really can disrupt the happy home. So when we think about that, I like what Scripture says in Romans 12, verse 2. Take a look at that with me. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you, what? Think. So it really does start right there. Thinking can transform us. Let's take a look at number three. Make lifestyle changes. Just take a look. Remember, we're going to get crazy practical here. Just trust me on that. I believe that sometimes people just kind of forget those things that they can do, and they just say, well, I just want God to, you know, like a genie, boop, boop, you do it for me, God. But there's some things that are up to us. Let's take a look here. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 21 In Proverbs 3, verse 21, it says, "My child, don't lose sight of common sense." Take a look at that just for a moment. Don't lose sight of common sense. You could just say just wisdom. That's just applied knowledge used properly. But don't lose sight of common sense and discernment. Hang on to them, for they will refresh your soul. They are like jewels on a necklace. They keep you safe on your way, and your feet will not stumble. You can go to bed without fear. I like that one. And you will lie down and sleep soundly. Don't lose sight of common sense. I don't know about you, but I can actually be my own worst enemy. I can fall into a lifestyle that doesn't work. Have you found that you fall into a lifestyle that doesn't work? Things that you find, all of a sudden, you have a joyless existence. You're going through the motion. There's nothing happening. What can I do to change that? Well, it's pretty important. Be careful about that. Let me take a look. Some common sense look like things. Here they are. Number one, the common sense of enough sleep. There it is. I told you we're going to get common and I get practical. You know, you never want to overlook getting enough rest. Don't blow this one off. It really, lack of sleep heightens stress. Your stress levels will be there. CDC reports that less than one-third of Americans are sleep-deprived. So the lack of sleep will elevate that stress. Keep note of that. Why don't you just consider certain things like possibly just going to bed before 10? Maybe don't play the television or read social media. Just a thought. Maybe even dim the house lights just a little bit or read something. Just something to just kind of get yourself more relaxed. Letter B, the common sense of exercise. Now, I'm not saying anything to get people feeling guilty, but exercise will get you a greater feeling going on, just literally. And that's not, don't sign up to a gym. Don't go off and sign, because that just adds stress, doesn't it? It's like, oh, I got this payment going, I never use it. Just walk between breaks, your lunchtime at work. Just walk. It's amazing how those little happy feelings or hormones kick in when you exercise. Non-activity will increase your stress level. If you are non-active, there's a chance you really are filled with stress. Just get out there and exercise. Let her see the common sense of what you eat. Saying, by this time you're saying, man, I didn't come to church to talk about exercise and eating. Listen, Hope Chapel is not a common church. We like talking about things that you can apply, biblically based, and we love talking about the Holy Spirit because he's very real. So we want to apply those two things. Let's get life going with the Holy Spirit. But it's important here because how to cooperate with God using his word and involved in the world is very important. But, you know, eating right is naturally a no-brainer. You know, I remember that the doctor once told me, Paul, you're not drinking enough water. It's like, come on, doc, come on. I get enough hydration with all the coffee I consume. He's like, no. It's like, that's actually a diuretic. But sleep and lack of water, you need plenty of water just to even sleep properly. Are you aware of that? So it's important to consider that water consumption. Letter D, the common sense with technology. Now, there's no way we can eliminate smartphone. Technology's here to stay. But it is important because whenever those little notifications, sensors of alertness go off, instant stress. Isn't it true? Some of you may want to consider just not involving yourself with your smartphone at certain times. I sit down with some of you and there it is. There's a smartphone right next to the fork and it buzzes. I'm getting stressed out and it's your phone. So just think about that. Just common sense with technology. That's all we're talking about. Letter E, common sense of fun. I like this fact in Proverbs 15:15. It's a wonderful verse. It says, for the despondent, every day brings trouble. What a bummer. But I like this one. For the happy heart, Life is a continual feast. Ooh, how fun. Schedule. If you don't schedule some fun in your life, I'm telling you, you will have to fight for it because life will consume it. So you have to work for it. It is worthwhile to have fun. Ainsley and I try to put fun in our calendar. That's why I love Mondays are our day off. I love Sundays as our day of rest and worship. But it's important we do something we call those little Sabbath days a mini vacation. And it's important. Have some fun. It's important for us to consider that. And I want to just add, number four, prioritize your relationships. Can I just remind you, I would suggest you think about spending less money acquiring things and more money on creative ways to build memories with people you love. Spend less money on acquiring things. Relationships are very important. It's the one thing that's eternal. Tremendous efforts, mentally, emotionally, takes a lot of work with relationships. I just was with a relative. They're just saying how, to me, I've wasted all this time, and I missed my children growing up, and now my grandchildren, and I'm missing all the football games, so we're going to sell our home. We're going to move back east. You can imagine. Now, for me, it was a price he paid for me to learn relationships are important because they have a beautiful spread. But he realizes, I've spent a lot of time acquiring material things, and I really didn't invest in relationships. And he misses that. But wouldn't it be great that we kind of learn that before we come to that conclusion? It's very important. So God created us to need healthy relationships, and I'm glad you're here. I'm glad you're here, too, online. How do we do that? Letter A, move out of isolation. Move out of isolation. Sometimes you may think that you're not isolated, but think that through with me. Think it through. Because sometimes we shut ourselves off emotionally. We don't engage, don't have any interest in small groups, don't want to participate in anything. We could have been probably hurt or wounded or betrayed by others, so we're just going to go ahead and emotionally isolate ourselves, even though I'm here. But that just heightens your stress level. That's what we're talking about. Move out of isolation. It's very stressful. People somehow want to just isolate, and they realize there's a lot of work to try to avoid people. How do you do that? How do you move in there? Letter B, put yourself in relational environments. I'm glad to actually say that because you're all here at Hope Chapel today. Yay! That's a good start to be in a faith family. It's a great start. To say, hey, don't you just feel good going to church? I mean, really, come on. You just kind of go, maybe it's because I did my little religious duty, but I think it's more like the Holy Spirit shining on you because you went to church. You gave some time to him, a little bit of time. But there's something about doing biblical things that bring a smiling sense of approval, this deep satisfaction of obedience. But it's very important. There's a variety of other ways within this church that a person can get out of that isolation into a relational environment. Very helpful. Very helpful. We're talking about eliminating the dark side of stress. Remember, don't lose sight of why we're just talking about this. Letter C, put time into those relationships. Good relationships take time. Good relationships take a lot of time. Because our little need for emotional reserves, it just plummets. So you have to keep going back at it. Your little interaction with somebody last week kind of can go down to 20%. It's like, what am I going to do? Well, keep going at it. Keep enjoying relationships. Invest in your life and time. Be careful about temporary things that really won't carry to heaven. Jesus said that, remember? Don't invest in those things where moth and rust destroy and thieves break in and steal. But man, he says, but let me tell you, invest in things in heaven that will be there when you arrive. And I think one of those is relationships. God and people will be there. That's why we want to invest in those relationships. See, most relationships that deteriorate do so because of neglect. And just because we're at home with family doesn't mean it's happening. Just because you're at home working on a project doesn't mean you're having quality relationship time. Have to really invest in that, and you know that what it's going to take for that to happen. And it's going to be wonderful. So, the single most fulfilling experience in anyone's life is quality relationships with people. It's the way God made us. It's the way God made us. So, and if you have a bridge to cross, then He's given us forgiveness, and it's a beautiful thing. He wants us to be healthy. I would certainly do it God's way, the Bible way. Number five, connect spiritually. Connect spiritually. Letter A, develop the habit of prayer. I'm just going to give you 2 points. I know it has been a blessing for me. I'm just going to share it. And prayer is one of them. Let's take a look here, Philippians chapter 4, where it says in verse 6, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. That's pretty clear. Worry about nothing, pray about everything. So prayer has to be in there. Tell God what you need and thank Him for all He has done. Then you'll experience. I'm all for verses that say, what's in it for me? Ha ha! Don't you? Then I will experience something. And it says, God's peace, which exceeds everything we can understand, His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. Please consider that. Please consider that. Remember, I asked you to write down your stressors. I asked out to write down what is it that's going to stress you out. I'm glad in our survey earlier, it says that little over 50% of people surveyed pray when they are stressed. So, as you know, stress is an indicator something's wrong. Something's wrong. When we were together a couple weeks ago, I said emotional duress, something's not quite right. It's an indicator. It's not a navigator. Your marriage is shot, and you say, I'm going to divorce you. Because it's shot, that just means something's wrong there. Don't say it's a navigator to go and change direction. Same with stress. Something's wrong here. Something's wrong. And I'm going to quit this. I'm going to stop that. I'm going to stop that. Well, why don't you go to prayer, and the peace of God will come. You never want to make a big-time decision when you're at an all-time low. That's a word for you out there. Don't make a big-time decision. Some people regret bailing on their family. They wish they had done differently. No one ever told them what I just told you. No one never came along the backside and said, straighten up, straighten up. You can do this. Isn't it God who gives me strength? I can do all things. But they're going to go and do it because the pain and stress is somehow indication they should bail and cut and run. Don't do it. Don't do it. Pray about everything. Worry about nothing. Pray about everything. Pay attention to how that impacts you when you pray about everything. Pay attention. List all of those things. List them. Mark them down. It could not just be one thing. List everything that's a stressor in your life. And then you just go and start praying about it. And then you tell me how you feel after that. You tell me how you feel about that. And finally, here we go. Letter B. Develop the habit of trust. Develop the habit of trusting God. This one you're going to have to fight for. What does that look like? I trust you, God. I trust you, God. Look at Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5. It says this, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not depend on your own understanding. Seek His will in all you do, and He will show you which path to take. Remember years ago in my journey with stress, I remember I would pray about everything. I'm looking for the peace. And I felt like the Lord says, Paul, you don't trust me, do you? I thought, Lord, I do. He says, if you did, you would not have this stress. And I understood what He was saying. I was waiting for the end result of my issues to have peace. I was having faith to move over here, but I wasn't feeling it right now in the middle of that. So as I'm praying for everything, Lord, I trust you. Lord, I trust you. I trust your plan. I trust you know best. I trust you to help me. I trust you, Lord. You're going to have to fight for that one. When the stress is so heavy, your head is just pressure point. Ugh, it's like squeezing a melon. Remember Isaiah 26, 3 and 4. Boy, that's a good one. You will keep him in perfect peace. Ooh, I like that, don't you? You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed upon you because he trusts in you. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Trust in the Lord. Verse 4, when it talks about that, for in the Lord Yah is everlasting strength. Trust in the Lord forever, verse 4 says. It's important. I know that sounds like I'm repeating myself, but when you're going through something and you still feel the gripping sensation of agony, of pain, of stress, Lord, I trust you. I trust you. Something starts to happen. There's a breakthrough in the heavenlies, no doubt about it. Man, there is a spiritual connection that happens. Try it. Oh, try it. It's pretty powerful. You tell somebody, yeah, why don't you trust God? They have not a clue until they battle it out in the midst of stress. Lord, help me here. You know better. I don't know what direction we're going to go, but I trust you, Lord. There's a lot of examples in the Old Testament where the Old Testament people panic, cut, and run and went another direction. Whole nation, Israel. Don't you do that. You stay put and see God win it for you right where you live. It's going to be awesome. Going to be powerful. Well, that's it. Practically, just pray and say, I trust you, Lord. Say that with each stressor. Well, what a great way to start our series, huh? Yeah. How many feeling a little lighter? Yeah, all three of you. Good. That's great. Well, praise God. Well, I want to encourage you, especially you at home. All of this is made possible, not by our sponsors, but because of Jesus. Because of Jesus. If you and I forget how much God loves you, check it out with the cross. That's why we maintain a cross. Sometimes we forget, does God really love you? Well, you check out that instrument of torture that God experienced for you. It could be a work of art, but it was a place where your redemption was paid for. I want to thank you for joining us today at Hope Chapel, Huntington Beach. It's our desire to bring the teachings of this church to others globally. If today's message has brought you closer to Jesus, we want to know. Can you send us an email to office@hopechapelhb.org? Would you consider supporting this ministry financially? You can give securely online at hopechapelhb.org/give. If a check is your preferred method, you can send a mailed check to Hope Chapel, P.O. Box 548, Huntington Beach, California, 92648. If you want to be contacted by Hope Chapel, would you consider subscribing to our weekly newsletters at hopechapelhb.org/subscribe. Whatever season of life you're in, we want to go through it with you. We want to thank you once again for joining us, and God bless you.